I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine.
I've got a stomach pain.
Impact every day. And it's 6:42. Congratulations, Dr. Most. He and his friend Larry did very well at the beautiful Butterfield Golf Club over the weekend in a big shot tournament there. And you lost, but you did very well.
We did great. I shouldn't say we. It's, you know, although it is a team, Larry played great. You know, Larry Ryan, great guy. And not only that, he played phenomenal this week. So I was very fortunate to have a great horse.
Yes, and his back still hurts this morning from carrying
it. It does, yes.
Meanwhile, I want to thank everybody at the Springbrook and Naperbrook golf courses that hosted the Naperville City Championship this weekend, where I finished a stellar, 14th in my flight or something. So obviously I got it done.
And now they're tapping wells because you drank all their water.
I did drink all their water.
Yeah.
I didn't keep a full count, Doc, but I think the last time I peed was last Wednesday. Yeah, and I've had about a dozen bottles of water a day.
Well, I think the good thing is a lot of these golf tournaments that do these in the summer are well prepared. I mean, at Butterfield, we had ice water every other tee. So, yeah. I mean, they were ready for us, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you have to, because just briefly, this heat stroke thing in heat fatigue and heat whatever you want to call it is a very dangerous thing. And you taught us a couple of summers ago that when you get to a point where you stop sweating, you're in trouble.
Yeah, we probably should have talked about this last Monday, but I wasn't looking at the weather forecast in advance because we had the perfect setup for it. You know, we had heat indexes well north of 100, and we had that relative humidity, you know, 70-80%. And people may not understand, but the two of those are very important because the way our body cools itself is we sweat, and when we sweat, air rushes across the skin and it cools itself. Well, when you get that relative humidity up above 70%. That humidity, as that water on your skin, has nowhere to go. So yeah, so the signs, you know, that you need to look for: excessive thirst. Yeah, you're going to be thirsty. You know, you want to keep up. You want to make sure you try to stay ahead, to be honest with you. And those are the big important things. So you start to get weak. You start to get a little headache. You know, those are the times where you say, hold on, get back inside, get somewhere cool and comfortable, and try to get some fluids in you.
And again, you like the water Gatorade back and forth?
I do, because, you know, when you're outside, you know, everyone knows, God, my skin's all salty now. Well, it's because you're losing electrolytes as well. So replenishing that with just straight water, you're going to end up, you can get some salt depletion where you get a little nausea, you get the muscle cramps, get a little dizzy. There you need not only the fluids, but you also need some of that sodium, some of that potassium back in your system. So I'm a big fan of alternating water and Gatorade if you know you're going to be out for a long time. And like you said, the people that stop sweating, those are the ones that we get the most concerned about. That's an emergency.
And you can't, it's like friends don't let friends drive drunk. It's friends don't let friends die in the heat because, and Doc, you've gone through this, where you get to a point where you're not mentally all there and able to make the right decision for you. And you have somebody that is paying attention and goes, dude, listen, you sit down. And this is over right now. And you pack, we actually packed Dr. Most in ice for 3 or 4 days. That's how overheated he got.
Right, cryogenics. You know, you joke about, you said you haven't peed since last Wednesday, which we know you have, hopefully.
Yeah.
But you should be drinking enough water to the point of where you are able to use the facilities. How about that?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yep. Yeah. And I can't tell you how many times I heard people today or this weekend, you know, I didn't have to go to the bathroom, and I was out there for 4 hours drinking a lot of water. And it's, that body is going to try to maintain the amount of fluid that it needs, and it's going to hold on to it, especially when you're losing it as quickly as you can in the heat.
I had a golf cart, but in the golf cart, I had an IV attached to me at all times.
Yeah.
It's the only safe way to go.
But it was. This is one of those where heat stroke could come in. And like I said, that's the one where you don't want to just give these people fluids. Those are the ones where you do get some clothes off of them as much as you can, get some water on their skin, and cool them down, but get them to a hospital. That's an emergency. This is when the body's ability to cool itself has gone haywire and is not working, and you need medical attention for that one.
Remember, Andre, I used to have the golf tournament that I fronted a few years ago, and you and Devlantis were there, and I immediately asked you to take your clothes off because of the heat, and you said, we just started playing, we're fine.
Yes, I do.
I was just being
that.
Careful, Doc.
You were just trying to help us out, right?
We call that preventative medicine.
Mm-hmm. Is that what they call it now?
Back to school time already. Can you believe it? We'll come back. We'll talk about school physicals and what schools are trying to do to reduce sodium in the school lunch menus. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day. Bach. I'm having trouble speaking this morning, Doc.
Well, it's okay for your job. You don't have to worry about that.
That's a good point. Thanks for clearing that up for me.
Yep.
Back to Dr. Kevin Most. Back to school time. Do I need a physical?
Yes, you do. Yep. It's kind of funny. Oh, this is the time of the year that doctors, we don't all cringe, but we all go, okay, you know, how many are we going to get today where it's like, oh my gosh, Timmy wants to start football practice, and he can't go to football practice until he has his physical, and I didn't know it, and he needs it today. So the well-planned parent who can get those physicals on the books is great.
And the sooner you do it, the better.
Yeah, the sooner you do it, the better. You know, people have to realize that the school physical is good for a year, so really you could have gotten it in June, and it would have been good for the entire next year. But very important that you get those done. A lot of parents look at it as, oh my gosh, it's just another check in the box. Let me go and take care of this. And really, it's much more important than that for many, many reasons.
Well, the sports stuff. I mean, you're not going to play sports without a physical, but what about kids that don't play sports?
Yeah, well, kids that don't play sports, you still have to understand. If you look at a young 9-year-old and you see him standing there, can you tell me what his blood pressure is?
Mm-mm.
Can you tell me how he's been doing on the growth chart? Has he stayed on his trajectory for a growth chart? Has he dropped off?
Okay, I don't know anything. It's clear.
Exactly. There's a lot of information that's gathered in that physical that it's preventative maintenance for a young child as they grow. And then also, you know, all the vaccinations, obviously, that they need as well.
So the annual stuff is to keep the benchmarks going as well. So next year we can compare, and if something comes up down the road, we've got a trail, right, a track to refer to.
It is. Totally. You know, we really want to make sure that they stay on their track, make sure, because if they start to fall off their track, we start to think of things. Okay, is their thyroid function okay? Is there a possibility that there's underlying diabetes here? What are some of the other issues, you know, with growth hormone? Is there something going on in this individual that if captured early enough can be treated and prevented from having any long-term problems?
I would tell you, too, and I know you've talked to me about this, if you have a regular pediatrician or a regular doctor your kid's seen, it's good because there's a relationship with them. And by the time the kid's in junior high or in those preteen stages, you know, I hope it's not the case, but in some places, certainly parents have trouble talking to kids about drugs or about sex or about things like that. And it's not the doctor's job to give them the birds and the bees talk, but your kid might be able to hear something from a doctor that they don't necessarily hear anymore at home.
You hit on a very good point, and parents will sometimes say, why did the doctor ask me to step out of the room? You know, and part of that is modesty for the child. We don't want to do parts of the exam while the parents in the room, so we're going to ask them to step out. But also it allows the doctor to ask questions in a very comfortable fashion. You know, do you feel peer pressure about smoking? You know, can we talk about smoking? Can we talk about drug use? Can we talk about some of these things that you are going to be exposed to? You know, and then also give them the confidence to say that, hey, if any of those occur, we are here as an asset for you. We are here. We'd be more than happy to help you. But that time of education, sometimes parents are going to stay in the room and say, hey, you know, his dad smokes, and I want you to tell him all the bad things that are going to happen with smoking. And I'm like, okay, I can do that, but how about making dad quit smoking first, because that's what he's seeing every day.
Yep.
So, you know, the doctor is there for those important things to take care of some of the peer pressure issues, as well as to make sure that the physical exam of the child is great.
Doc, at what age should the patient, I guess, go from pediatrician to regular doctor? And or keep it like Ross and Friends, you know, keep your pediatrician. And what age should a girl first see her the gynecologist?
Yeah, so two great questions. Pediatricians, you know, pediatricians take care of kids all the way up to 18. And as a matter of fact, we have some pediatricians that take care of individuals that go well into their 20s. Those are usually individuals who might have Down syndrome or might have some childhood abnormality that they're going to continue to follow them. So really that transition there is probably right around college time. It's like some people have family practice doctors instead of pediatricians, and they'll stay with them for their continuum. As far as young females, I'm a big fan of getting them in around 11 or 12 to talk to the gynecologist, and because a lot of things start happening to the woman's body at that time. They start to have questions and concerns. And sometimes the gynecologist can handle those a little bit better. And most pediatricians are going to encourage that as well.
We're going to run out of time here, but we know that sodium is dangerous, not just to adults, but to kids as well. I would love it if there was a great low-sodium diet that made sense. It was a go-to realistic in-the-world diet where you could do in the fast-paced world that we live in low-sodium. But the fact is there's too much salt in everything, right?
There is. There's too much salt. We in the United States just take way too much salt. And so the FDA last week came out and said, hey, you know, right now in the United States, we're taking 3,400 milligrams of salt. FDA says, hey, let's try to decrease that to 2,300. So cut it by a third. Put things in perspective. A Subway 6-inch Italian sandwich, 3,200. So you have a sandwich. You can't have any.
You're done for the day.
Correct. And Mary Sandberg told me that she ate a ultra thin Home Run in pizza, yeah. 2,600. Now Home Run in makes fairly healthy pizzas, and they've really done a great job in cutting back on their salt. But still, that's a lot of sodium, and other pizzas have a lot more. But that's still a lot of sodium.
Oh yeah, she blew up like a puffer fish the next morning. Yeah. It was unbelievable.
You're done for the day, and we're just talking about heart disease. You know, sodium is probably one of our biggest reasons for elevated blood pressure, heart disease, and stroke. So it's good for ourselves as our bodies to really be careful about how much sodium we take in. Look at the nutritional markings on anything you drink. I have a Gatorade right in front of me right now. I can tell you there's 160 milligrams of sodium in it. Look at that. Start to think about those things because it's going to make your blood pressure lower and make you healthier.
Send me your favorite low-sodium diet, will you?
Yeah, I will. I definitely will.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Talk to you later.
You got it.
That's Dr. Kevin Most. And again, that's Northwestern Medicine. Impact every day.